This morning, I want to talk to you about transformational Thanksgiving. How many of you got a situation that needs transformed? You can think of a couple, yeah. I'd like to see some things transformed too. And I'm going to share some interesting ideas with you about how to transform some things and how Thanksgiving can transform some things. So turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, and we'll start there. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I still say they need to get an app where, you know, you can hear the phones and the iPads just, you know, turning pages when people I used to hear pages turn when I would give a starting scripture. Don't hear that anymore. But that's okay. It's good. You know, some people are like, well, I wish we carried Bibles. You know, you've got a Bible with you all the time now, and it's a whole lot easier to carry, and you can read from different versions, and it's just so wonderful. So we want the Word of God, not just a certain style of leather-bound book, but an actual Word of God where the Word of God resides inside of us. So that's a big deal. And I still like my Bible, but, you know, I'm glad that we have some options on how we can get the Word of God in us. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, are you there? Okay, I'm using the NIV version this morning. I just mix it up sometimes. Verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Everybody say, give thanks in all circumstances.
Give thanks in all circumstances.
For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God tells us to give thanks in everything. Some of the versions actually say that, in everything give thanks. We used to sing the song, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It's a little melody that we had that went with this verse. And the things that precede and the things that follow it were in that little song that we would sing. So, all circumstances might make it a little bit more understandable. Because I don't know that you have to thank God for the things, but you thank God in the things. Makes sense, doesn't it? But still, how many of you really just love the idea that when things are going wrong, that's just the perfect time to give thanks? Yeah, things aren't going the way I thought. Yeah, let's just give thanks. That's the first thing that I get inspired to do when things start to go haywire. Everything's a mess. Wow, that really stinks. Let's give some thanks. I don't know that I'm highly motivated to give God thanks in the dark times. Like, that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. And in fact, you might even say it's not fair. Is it really fair for God to ask you when things are going haywire to give him thanks? I mean, what kind of God asks you when you're down and out, and then he turns around and says, give thanks? It's almost like he's a little mean. Aren't you taking into consideration my feelings right now, God? But it gets worse. Oh yeah, I'm going to make it worse for you now. You ready? This comes from 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Again, I'll be reading from the New International Version. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. 1 through, 1 through 4. Thank you, Lord, that I can't talk today. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Everybody say, thanksgiving be made for all people. All people. Well, let's keep going. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right. In every circumstance or situation I find myself in, you want me to be thankful. Is that what I'm hearing from you, God? And then you've got the nerve to ask me to be thankful for some people? In fact, all people. Do you know who all people are? Do you recognize the all people in my life, Lord? I've got some all people that I'm not sure I'm thankful for. Yeah. I told you it was going to get worse. So even if the king is a rotten, lousy, no good bum, you specifically say that I'm supposed to be thankful for him? Really? What? Those of you who keep track of political issues in the day and time that we're living in, have you been thankful for the leaders that are taking our country in the wrong direction? You know the ones. You know the ones I'm talking about. The ones who get up and say the dumbest things. The ones who seem to have no understanding of what it's like to live in the real world. Because they don't. In many cases, they don't, boys and girls. They really don't. Like, they've been living in their own little bubble for so long that they have no idea what it's like to be you or me. And some of them go to bubble world over in a place called Washington, D.C., and they stay there long enough that they live in that little bubble long enough that they seem to have forgotten what it was like living in the world that we lived in. Right. And for those people, I'm supposed to give thanks. Excuse me, God. Can we have a talk? What were you thinking? Oh, Paul did this. This was just Paul. No? It wasn't, was it? So, looking at it again, for example, from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, this is God's will for us. Everybody say, for us.
For us.
That would be for you. Not me, though. No, I guess it means me, too. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for us. That means for you and for me. Smile at somebody and says, he's talking about you now. Yeah, this is Paul talking about you, but it's God's will for you and for me. Now, it's for us. It's not against us. It's for us. It's for our benefit. It's for our good. How many of you know that God does everything for your good? He's trying to win you and turn you into someone who he can bless the socks off of. And he's wanting to do this for you. For your benefit. He wants to do it for your gain, for my gain. He's for us. Now, do you know who the king was when Paul told Timothy to give thanks for the king? I've said it a few times. Maybe some of you remember. Does anybody remember who the king was when Paul tells Timothy to give thanks for the king?
Nero.
Nero. That guy was a piece of work. He was a nasty, nasty guy. I've never had a leader of the country that I lived in who stomped their pregnant wife to death. I've never had a leader in a country that I've lived in who would hang people from a post and light them on fire to make his party lighting while he was having a good time with guests. And I could go on and on and on about how rotten and evil, the worst of all the worst, in fact, of all the nasty, cruddy, scummy Roman emperors. Not all of them were that bad, by the way. But some of them, there were others that were bad. This guy was the worst of the worst. And so Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, oh, and by the way, be sure you thank God for the king. And Timothy's thinking, wow, Wonder what drugs they've got him on. No, I think Timothy understood. And by the way, Nero was the king that ended Paul's life. If I have my understanding right about that. So Paul knew that this king was evil. So Paul knew that one of the most evil people that ever lived, when he made this instruction, he was saying, give thanks for all people and for the king in particular, the worst king maybe ever. I don't know. How's that supposed to help us? Have you ever thought of, how's that supposed to help? Glad you asked. I will say this, though. It is way easier to be thankful for some of our leaders when you start to compare them to some of the ones in the past. Yeah, that helps. But again, what's the benefit of thanking God for bad leaders? Well, first, let's remember that Paul told Timothy in verses 2 and 3 of one of the scriptures that we read that giving thanks was part of a strategy to help us live a peaceful and quiet life. Giving thanks is a strategy for helping us live a peaceful and quiet life. Okay. And that people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth if we can be people who are thankful. Well, I've got to admit this. It's going to startle some people if in the midst of what is a mess, you break out in thanksgiving. Right? If you break out in thanksgiving when everybody around you is looking at the situation going, you know, this is really, really bad. Or somebody's done something to a bunch of you and this guy's got to go. Oh, Lord, thank you. They're not going to know what to do with you. They'll be checking you for drugs, probably. But I just have a question. Is there anyone here who has family members you'd like to see come to the Lord? Yeah, Thanksgiving is that part of that process. It's an important part of that process, according to the Scripture. Do you believe God or do you believe yourself? We'll get to that faith element in a minute. Is there anyone who wouldn't mind having a more peaceful and quiet life? Yeah. And I have to laugh, by the way. My wife and I have got a fairly peaceful and quiet life. I mean, when the grandkids aren't there like they were yesterday, most of the time it's peaceful and quiet. It was chaos in the house yesterday, but we loved it. It's chaos you love. You know, you're thankful for that kind of stuff. What if the way you look at the situation, even though it's chaotic, what if you see something else in it that makes you thankful? That's what was going on yesterday. We see something in the chaos that we love so much that we're able to be thankful in spite of the chaos. Not that we didn't sit down in our chairs when they were gone and go, ah, yes, we did. And we had a peaceful and quiet evening with two kitties. So how does Thanksgiving make those things or help those things happen? Once again, I'm glad you asked. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. No, that's happening in our nation. Okay, going on. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Okay, that sounds a lot like what's going on in our world sometimes. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. By those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Here's where I get this title for today's message: Thanksgiving is Transformational. Now, here's the truth. I've preached this message before. And I've begun to apply it in my life over the years. I've begun. I don't say I've got it down. But I've worked at it. Because I know that if I can change the way I'm viewing something through the lens of Thanksgiving, it's going to change how I react to it and how I behave myself. And that transforms me. It transforms the way I think. It transforms the way I feel. And it transforms the way I act. This food was tied into the idea of there were certain things that were sacrificed to animals. Or sacrificed to demons. Foods that, you know, be careful what you eat because it may have been sacrificed to something. And the interesting thing is, this food, because it was sacrificed on pagan altars, carried with it. You may not believe that, but you should, because the scripture says it does, carried with it demonic influence. But if we sit down, no matter what's been done with this food that's in front of us, and we are thankful, the demonic influence is peeled away. And we receive with thanksgiving. It transforms the very food in front of us from something that was a delivery system for darkness into a delivery system that God blesses us through. And renders the food harmless to the believer who's full of thanksgiving. I think that's not only true of the food, but I think it's a metaphor for a lot of other things that are being served up to us. Matthew 14:19 says, "And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks." Everybody say, "He gave thanks." You know who that was, right? It's Jesus. "And he broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people." You know that story, the feeding of the 5,000. He gives thanks over this tiny amount of food, and he begins to break it, and it begins to multiply. And the next thing you know, they've taken what was a little boy's lunch and turned it into a meal for everybody in the place. 5,000 men, and probably close to 20,000 people, some estimate, because they only counted the men. When Jesus gave thanks, food multiplied. Is that a transformation? I'd say it's a pretty big transformation. So thanksgiving changes everything. Give thanks in your situation, in your circumstance. Why? Because it transforms that circumstance. Want somebody's mind to change? Start thanking God for the change that can come over a situation and a person in a situation. Start thanking God. I know it's hard. I'd rather complain about it. Frankly, I just, you know, it's easier to say, Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," everybody say, "with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here's peace accompanying thanksgiving. You can transcend, you can transform your situation that has no peace into a thing of peace if you can find a way to be thankful in the middle of that circumstance. Try it. What do you got to lose? Psalm 95, verse 2. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Come before his presence. "Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." Anybody besides me want to walk in more of God's presence? There have been times when I've been walking in God's presence, when I've sensed God's presence, when I've been in a place that was full of God's presence, when I was full of God's presence, when I've seen God do things that I don't have words for. I don't have words for what he's been able to do when his presence is there in a special way. We've seen miracles that we might not have seen otherwise. Now, sometimes we just need to pray whether we feel the presence or not. But how many of you know sometimes when you feel the presence, you find yourself saying and doing things you wouldn't have done otherwise? It wouldn't have made sense up here, but because the presence was so overwhelming, you just start to do what God wants to do, and all of a sudden, amazing things happen. Things get transformed. We come before his presence with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Everybody say faith. Okay, we're talking about being established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it, we're talking about faith, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in faith with thanksgiving. Abounding in, how many of you have been abounding lately? That means you have more than enough. I would like very often to have more than enough faith. What if I can get myself so centered on this idea of letting thanksgiving flow out of me that it just creates a dynamic where there's just constantly more faith coming into me because there's thanksgiving going out of me, and it just does this. It just flows in and comes out, and flows in and comes out. So, if you will, I would like to suggest to you that you consider thanksgiving as one of the most powerful tools on the planet. Most powerful tools on the planet. Thanksgiving. What? Yeah. One of the most powerful tools on the planet. It's a tool that we don't often use because it's so easy to use the other tools that everybody else uses. If there's a group complaining about something, it's really easy to get on the group and complain about something rather than finding something to be thankful for. So let's try something. If I look at my wife and I go like this, what's this hand signal mean? Come here. Come here, come here, come here, come here. Okay, that's good. If I look at you and I go, what am I doing? Gimme, gimme. Yeah, come on. Come on. Well, maybe give me five, but it's gimme. Okay. I'm looking for something. Maybe money. Money, 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 money. Okay. What if I do this hand signal? I'm going to hit you. We know some hand signals, don't we? Yeah. How about if I do like this? Looks like I'm welcoming you, right? Just, aw, come here. Give me a hug. And what is this one? Yeah, praising and appreciating and, yeah, we put our hands together. It's really interesting that the Hebrew word for hand is yad, Y-A-D, yad. You got yads on the end of your arms. Everybody just shake your yads. That's really odd. Okay. And to extend a hand or to lift your hands in the scripture is yada. We lift our hands in this church, don't we? Yada, which is where we get the word Judah. It comes from yada. It's in fact, they're probably pronounced the same way. I'm not sure why sometimes it's a Y and sometimes it's a J, but it's just us trying to understand. So, yeah, that extension of the hand toward God is a choice to recognize God. When we lift our hands before him, we're recognizing him. And we're lifting up our thanksgiving to him. So, let's just do something a little different today. Can you stand up? Some of you stand up. If you can, stand up. If your body will let you stand up, stand up. All right. What I want you to do next is I want you to go and extend a hand to at least three people. Just extend a hand to them, and they'll extend their hand to you, and you just greet one another. All right? Can you do that? One. Okay. Two. Get that second one. Very good. Yeah. Oh, some of you are going for more than three. Overachievers. You're allowed. Okay, did you all get a chance to shake three hands? Yeah. So, from yada, we get the word that is most often translated thanksgiving in the Old Testament. Isn't that interesting? And so when we greet one another, we're expressing our appreciation. In a sense, it's, we don't think of it this way, it's thanksgiving. We're giving something to them, they're giving something to us, we're connecting. This is what God wants out of our thanksgiving, is a connection to him, where we can be touched by him and we can touch him. And then yada is that idea of praise. So everybody just put your hands up. Say, thank you, Lord. You are worthy of my praise. I give you my thanksgiving. I worship you. Oh, it's just so good, isn't it? It's just so good. Just so good. All right. All right. Now, I just want to pray that this will sink into us. Like, we'll realize that we have a chance this week. We're going to touch some people this week, aren't we? Probably we're going to see family, a lot of us. Some of them are rascals. Anybody got any rascals in their family? Yeah, there's just a few of you. How many of you are the rascal in your family? There we go. There we go. Amen. You're going to see some rascals in your family. It is a way of appreciation and thanksgiving. It's an introduction of the concept that is really behind thanksgiving, of connecting and being appreciative, that you can maybe grab someone this week. Maybe someone will show up who you haven't seen in a long time, and you're like, where have you been all these years? Instead, just, oh, I'm so glad to see you. Changes the atmosphere completely. We can shift, we can transform situations that we're going to walk into this week. And in a lot of family gatherings, someone will get asked to pray. You can be super thankful when you pray and shift, transform what's going on in the room. I believe we are supposed to be carriers of transformation everywhere we go, and we cannot do that unless we move the clutter out of the way and come in with appreciation for what God can do in the situation, even if everything else about the situation stinks. But what can God do? And sometimes God's up to something that we didn't see. I heard a prophecy this week that I've been sharing with a few of our leaders, and maybe at some point I'll share it with the whole congregation. I don't know, Sean Bowles, but he said he and his wife were listening actually to T.D. Jakes, and T.D. Jakes was making the point that that there was a famine in the land. And when there was a famine in the land, when Joseph was still in Egypt, his brothers were in the middle of the famine. And had there not been a little something that wasn't what they wanted exactly to happen, had there not been something that was a little bit tough, they would have never been forced down to Egypt, where God had their destiny. Sometimes we need to be thankful when we're being moved in a way that we're not happy about initially and say, wait a minute, someplace in this is God's provision for me. Someplace in this, I am thankful, God, that I know you are up to something, even though what I'm in the middle of doesn't look very good to me. I know you are up to something, and I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. How many think you're more likely to see what God's got for you when you're thankful than you are when your head's hanging down and you're just looking down at the ground grumping? So lift up your head. Let thanksgiving flow this week, especially of all weeks. You know, people will look at you a little less crazy this week when you're really thankful because they think it's Thanksgiving week. So, oh, okay, I get it. You're trying to be thankful. But this is our week to transform the situations around us. So, hand on your heart. Lord, get this into us. It's a good word in our ears, Lord, but it has to work its way down into our heart so that we become people who remain, and are focused on being thankful. We believe, God, that if we can do that, then you can do so much more through us and for us. And so we want, Lord, to be those thankful people, recognizing that you've got so much that you want to do, so much that you want to overcome, so much that you want to transform. Let us be thankful that you are in the midst of everything that we are doing, and you're there with us no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.